It's a Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. On this week's Walnut Wednesday episode, Taylor Chalstrom has a report with takes from California Walnut Board and Commission's Executive Committee and West Coast Net publisher Jason Scott on the board's newest hire, Director and Chief Executive Officer Robert Verloop. And I'll have a look at national and regional agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news right after this.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, delivering value to growers and handlers with advocacy, research programs, and walnut promotions. Doing more together.
Water is a vital resource for local agriculture. Central Valley farmers are being forced to make tough decisions because of the drought and water allocations. Fresno County Farm Bureau President Ryan Jacobson says a lack of water could mean fewer options at the grocery store and ultimately higher prices. While farmers have made changes based on water allocations, Jacobson says the consumer is the ultimate beneficiary of the water needed to produce the food grown in the Central Valley. He says every single human on the face of Earth every day consumes 800 gallons of water through the food they consume. California grows about two-thirds of the nation's fruit and one-third of the nation's vegetables. U.S. Foods Holding Corporation has announced the opening of the company's 70th distribution facility in Sacramento, California. The new 355,000-square-foot state-of-the-art distribution facility and customer engagement training center reflects a variety of sustainable building and fleet initiatives undertaken by U.S. Foods, making it the most environmentally sustainable distribution facility that the company has built to date. The facility enables U.S. Foods to service its growing Northern California customer base more efficiently, with significant room for expansion. It's located in McKellen Park, and the facility houses food service products, fleet maintenance operations, a full-service demonstration kitchen, and a training center for customer product demonstrations and recipe innovation. In addition, the location offers an interactive technology center where U.S. Foods customers can learn about the company's industry-leading and web-based business solutions. The new building and fleet operations include innovative sustainability attributes aimed at supporting the company's commitment to reducing the environmental impact of its operation. Some of the key sustainability highlights include a forthcoming Silver Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design certification for building design and construction, solar array installations to be installed later this year and expected to generate between 40 to 50% of the building's energy needs, energy-saving LED lighting, a fleet of 27 compressed natural gas trucks fueled by renewable natural gas, a carbon-neutral biogas produced from the decomposition of organic matter, and an on-site fueling station that will provide renewable diesel to the facility's fleet. According to Produce IQ, cherries had a late snow in April, which has devastated the bloom in some regions. They have insufficient volume for the spot market. Most cherries are going to committed programs without the need for shippers to add any new customers. Estimates are in the $13 to $15 million box range, which is a greater than 25% reduction from last year's crop. It is the smallest crop since 2013, despite an increase in producing acres. Cherry prices are literally off the chart since the USDA is unable to report open market cherry prices, stating that offerings are insufficient to quote. The Produce IQ index became distorted by the lack of data available. Though nothing from this shipping point, the USDA has included a limited number of cherries at terminal markets. These indicate destination prices now exceed $100 per case this past week. Harvest began around June 10th and should continue for 90 days. Among the lettuce leaf and wet vegetable categories, broccoli was a price winner. Broccoli prices rose 45% to $15, which is still a far cry from the $27 in 2020. Western vegetable prices rose across the board from the extremely hot temperatures. Heat is causing a variety of yield and quality problems, as Marcon Cooperative outlined in a recent article. The entire dry vegetable category is higher. Squash and corn led the field. However, cucumbers, bell peppers, and beans were not far behind. Elise Seiler is Monterey Mushroom's newest teammate, joining as a regional sales manager based out of California. She will manage fresh retail and food service mushroom sales in the western region. Seiler is responsible for the sales of mushrooms grown, packed, and shipped from Monterey's farms in Royal Oaks and Morgan Hill, California, which grow, harvest, and pack conventional and organic white, Baby Bella, and Portobello mushrooms. After more than 5 years with Gold Coast Packing, Al Jassen, regional sales manager, is retiring. His career in produce spans 30 years. He started his career in produce as a regional salesperson in 1992 with Fresh Choice Produce, eventually settling with Gold Coast in 2016. Jassen is known among his Gold Coast peers as one with a wealth of produce knowledge and having many connections in every aspect of the produce industry. He has a reputation of going out of his way to help not only his team, but fellow produce peers. He plans to enjoy his retirement by spending more time with his children and grandchildren, traveling, and playing golf. His retirement is effective July 1st. Gold Coast Packing Incorporated is a grower, shipper, and processor located in Santa Maria, California. The mission is to produce fresh, safe, nutritious, and innovative value-added produce while promoting growth and prosperity for customers, employees, and the company.
Unsure of your naval orange worm program? No worries now with Rango, a proven solution to protect your orchard at hull split from naval orange worm. Rango is an OMRI-listed broad-spectrum biopesticide with no known resistance, making it an excellent rotation and tank mix partner for both conventional and organic growers. Partner with Rango today. Contact your PCA, local dealer, or visit rangonow.com. Rango, no worries now.
In the Walnut Wednesday report this week, Taylor Chalstrom has more information on new leadership for the California Walnut Board.
The California Walnut Board and Commission are pleased to announce that Robert Verloop has been named Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer effective July 11th, 2022. The Board and Commission represent over 4,500 California walnut growers and nearly 90 handlers, producing over 1.4 billion pounds of walnuts in 2021 that shipped to more than 50 countries around the world. Bill Toce, California Walnut Board's Executive Committee Chairperson, is excited to have Verloop on board.
He's got such great lifetime experience already in his career, and he brings just such a wealth of experience in not only the private sector, but the public sector. And when I talk about public, I mean, he worked for the Avocado Commission, so he understands how commissions works. But he understands how private entities work, and to generate a profit and a margin, in a fair way. And he just brings such a breadth of experience. You can see from his public release about working for Sunkist and all these different entities. And just got such a vast array of that experience, along with dealing with high perishable produce, so he understands tight timelines, life of product. Although walnuts are not considered very perishable, but they are at a longer interval, but they do not last forever. And so he brings an understanding, I think, of all that. Included with that is international experience, domestic experience. So, yeah, we're pretty excited to have him bring his experience and knowledge, to the board and commission.
Given his background in ag and marketing, Verloop had a number of qualities that set him ahead of some of the other candidates eligible for the position. He also has experience in issues management, strategic planning, and government relations, working with various state and federal agencies, including USDA, FASATO, CDFA, and the FDA.
He presented himself well. He's very articulate. He is very personable. And again, you back that up with all that knowledge that he has. He just stood out from the other candidates that we were interviewing with all those things to consider. He was the obvious choice.
Toce said the Board and Commission's Executive Committee believes that Verloop will have an immediate impact in the short term, especially with shipping issues. And in the long term, he'll help with marketing efforts such as making walnuts more mainstream.
I think to have some fresh ideas and some new ways to go about looking at things, I think he's gonna show us a pretty nice vision of what he sees for our industry, a year or two down the road, and to start to look at the way we market and advertise and how we can do that better and have a different approach. you know, the same old just doesn't work anymore. We got to, you know, take a fresh look at everything and see how we can push the envelope to move the product that these growers produce, I being one of them. And yeah, there's a lot of walnuts around now, not only in the United States, but Eastern Europe, Chile, and even China now is an exporter. So we've got our work cut out for us to make this still a profitable adventure in California.
This segment was sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, working together to advance the industry. Together, we can do more.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
U.S. consumers will pay $69.68 for their favorite Independence Day cookout foods based on a new American Farm Bureau Federation market basket survey. The average cost of a summer cookout for 10 people breaks down to less than $7 a person. The overall cost for the cookout is up 17% or about $10 from last year due to ongoing supply chain disruptions, inflation, and the war in Ukraine. Survey results showed the retail price for 2 pounds of ground beef at $11.12, up 36% from last year. The largest year-to-year price increase in a survey. Several other foods in a survey, including chicken breast, pork chops, potato salad, fresh squeezed lemonade, pork and beans, hamburger buns, and cookies, also increased in price. One bright spot for consumers is the average retail price for strawberries, which declined by 86 cents compared to a year ago. Sliced cheese and potato chips also dropped in price, 48 cents and 22 cents respectively. And speaking of AFBF, they have announced that Joby Young will serve as the organization's next executive vice president. Young will take the role in mid-July following the retirement of Dale Moore. Joby will serve in a chief of staff role at AFBF. It is a familiar role for Young, who previously served in the same capacity at USDA and in Congress. USDA Deputy Secretary Jule Bronaugh, just off a major trade mission to the UK, sees the effort setting the stage for a later free trade deal with Great Britain. Bronaugh says the trade mission resulted in both direct ag sales and talks on trade barriers that could lead to more formal U.S.-UK negotiations.
I think we're all very hopeful that there will be a U.S.-UK free trade agreement. Of course, we realize that there are talks that will continue with not only the president, but USTR trade representative Catherine Tai in terms of a formal trade agreement. Our effort is really to continue to set the stage for removing and reducing barriers to trade,
especially non-tariff ones the UK still has in place.
Antimicrobial washes in our poultry, there was no specific discussion on that. Neither was there on food additives and feed. And I'm really happy about that because I think what we're seeing is people are more open in terms of our work there.
The large U.S. delegation included State Departments of Agribusinesses that signed a number of sales deals that Bronaugh says are still being totaled. The Health and Human Service and Agriculture Departments are now accepting nominations through July 15th for the 2025 Dietary Guidelines for Americans Advisory Committee. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain has more.
The nomination process is now underway for advisory committee members that will determine the 2025 Federal Dietary Guidelines for Americans.
They are scientists with expertise in nutrition and public health that produce a scientific report that they submit to the departments each round of the Dietary Guidelines.
Janet DeJesus of the Department of Health and Human Services. HHS and the Agriculture Department oversee the development of new dietary guidelines for Americans every 5 years, including the appointment of the advisory committee.
It's a great opportunity to evaluate science and give expert advice to the departments, and these scientists can use their expert knowledge and skills to serve the U.S. public.
Nominations are accepted through July 15th, with more details online at www.dietaryguidelines.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
As raspberry growers approach the first anniversary of last year's heat dome in the Northwest, it does not mean they have not had other weather changes this year. Washington Red Raspberry Commission Executive Director Henry Bierlink says growers are doing okay so far.
Like everywhere else, cool and wet, that isn't a huge problem for raspberries at this point. And we're going to be slow and a little late than what we normally are, but that doesn't necessarily mean a bad year for us. It just means a little later year.
However, Bierlink says the bees could use a little help.
Pollination right now is occurring in our raspberry fields, and we'd like the bees to be a little more happy with some warmer weather and drier weather, but it's not crisis mode by any means yet. If it continues forever, after the next couple of weeks with this wet and cold, we'll be a little more concerned.
One worry is possible root damage from all the rain.
When that heat starts to warm up and everything starts to really shoot, that's when those roots could show some indication of weakness, and that shows in the plant, and we'll be waiting to see what happens there.
Bierlink says things are looking pretty good.
Overall, I would just have to say that we're not really worried at this point yet. We're concerned and hopeful that this year is going to be a lot better than last year.
Again, that's Henry Bierlink of the Washington Red Raspberry Commission. Verdant Technologies has announced approval from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency of an expanded label of Harvest Hold Fresh, including the addition of 18 crops. The latest addition of crops for use with Harvest Hold Fresh includes asparagus, avocado, banana, bell pepper, blueberry, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, cucumber, kiwi, lime, mango, mushrooms, okra, papaya, pineapple, spinach, strawberry, and sweet corn. The 18 added crops are in addition to apricot, broccoli, grapes, melons, nectarine, peach, persimmon, plum, and tomato, which were approved by the EPA in September of 2021. The expanded label also includes flexibility for recycling Harvest Hold Fresh sheets after application. Expanding the Harvest Hold Fresh offering into many additional crops is going to bring tremendous opportunity to fruit and vegetable growers around the U.S., according to Gordon Robertson, CEO of Verdant Technologies. He says they are confident in their value their technology delivers across a wide range of commodities and are looking forward to partnering with customers to provide the simplest and most effective post-harvest solution to keep their produce fresher longer. Harvest Hold Fresh is an innovative shelf life extension solution, providing the simplest and most flexible post-harvest delivery method on the market. Through its breakthrough delivery method of 1MCP, Harvest Hold Fresh significantly reduces waste in a perishable produce supply chain and offers unmatched storage and portability. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has announced a kickoff of the 13th annual Feds Feed Families program, a voluntary food drive which encourages employees from all federal agencies to give in-kind contributions, food, services, and time to food banks and pantries of their choice. USA is honored to lead the campaign for all federal employees. This year's theme is Fighting Hunger, Giving Hope. The launch event for this year was held at the Capital Area Food Bank in Washington, D.C., with the help of donors, volunteers, and partner organizations. The food bank distributes more than 45 million meals annually. This is an average of 88,000 meals a day. Deputy Assistant Secretary Kim Pizer was on hand to shepherd in the 2022 campaign, which focuses on summer giving from now through September 30th, as well as encourages federal employees to give year-round. So far in 2022, more than 1.5 million pounds of food has been donated through the campaign. Pizer said more than 38 million Americans, including 12 million children, experience food insecurity. Security, thanking federal employees for participating in this important program. Rail and port workers in the U.S. and Canada are in the midst of contract negotiations, and a failure to come to an agreement could be a disaster for West Coast ports and railroads. Currently, there are three major transportation-related groups in contract talks, with one already declaring a strike. On June 18th, after rejecting the latest contract offer from Canadian National, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers went on strike. The IBEW workers involved consists of approximately 750 signal and communication employees in Canada, and they walked off the job to fight for better wages and benefits. CN announced in a news release on June 20th that normal rail operations would continue safely as it had implemented its operational contingency plan. The plan allows the company to maintain a normal level of safe rail operations across Canada and serve its customers for as long as required if the strike continues. CN Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Rob Riley sent a letter to all employees representing represented by the union to inform them of CNN's latest offer. He says they have been in negotiations with the union since October of 2021. CN has approached this round of bargaining with the objective of improving wages, benefits, and work rules, and ensuring the safety of employees. He says they've met or exceeded every one of the union's demands in an effort to reach an agreement prior to the strike deadline. Unfortunately, they did not reach an agreement, and the union has exercised its legal right to strike. CN said it is disappointed with the current situation, but remains committed to finding a resolution, and it continues to encourage the IBEW to end its strike through an agreement or through binding arbitration.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Continuing on Robert Verloop's in statement as California Walnut Boarding Commission's new president and CEO, myself and West Coast Nut publisher and CEO Jason Scott got the chance to meet Mr. Verloop at this month's Western Ag Processors Association annual conference. Verloop paid a visit, and Scott had only good things to say.
I was really impressed with Robert. I felt like he was very professional. He had a lot of knowledge about agriculture, and he understood what he was kind of walking into in the walnut industry, and exuded a level of confidence that he could make a difference. It's a brave thing to come out and just kind of rub shoulders with us right out of the gate. And so I was impressed and grateful for the opportunity to kind of spend some time with him and really kind of talk to him about the industry and talk to him about, from my perspective as the publisher of West Coast Nut, kind of where the needs are and how we move the industry forward.
Verloop's statement as the director and CEO for the Boarding Commission comes at a controversial time for the walnut industry, and he's going to have his hands full.
We're really needing some leadership. We're needing to move prices. We're needing to move the inventory. And so I think for Robert, if I were in his shoes, and frankly, I was pretty open and honest and had a frank conversation about where I kind of see the industry moving and how we can make a difference is it's going to be a delicate game between, getting us a better price, coming up with new ways to market both domestically and abroad walnuts while coming up with better ways to farm, doing more with less.
Better marketing is just one of many things that will help alter the pricing of walnuts.
I think kind of putting some more emphasis on that, looking at new markets, looking at ways domestically, how we make things taste better for walnuts. There was a comment mentioned, we need to add more sugar and add more salt to this product, right? To be effective. And I think there's some truth in that. The walnut taste is a little bit different from some of the other almonds, but there's great health benefits. They're a great snack. They're very versatile in terms of adding them into cuisines and to your meals. There's a lot of good things going on for the walnut. I think in terms of marketing, we just need to be a little more consistent. And we need to stay the course. We need to make the proper investments domestically. I don't think we consume enough domestically, and then look for those emerging markets and make some real investments into those emerging markets. So on the marketing side, that would be my advice to the industry and to him. And then the other piece of that is I'm really hoping and we have lifted our hands to reach out to the walnut industry and do our part to be part of the conversation for better research, right? To get the word out, to help growers do more with less. I really think that's a big opportunity for the new CEO, for Robert to come in and really show growers that, hey, we care about the farming aspects, right? Like, we're not just about marketing. We're also here to help you guys achieve a better product, right? So making more investments into research, having more conversations in publications like West Coast Nut about ways to improve farming for the walnut industry, right? Because it all adds up. It's all about ROI. You know, what price are we going to get? But then also, how much did it cost? How much did it cost to grow these walnuts? So I think from our end, we're looking forward to the Walnut Board making some deeper commitments to the growing side. And hopefully we will be able to partner with them and show the industry some new interventions, some new technologies, and some new ways to move the industry forward from the growing side and be more efficient and create more sustainability and create a better profit and market share for the growers throughout their growing season. That's my hope and my goal and kind of my mission with the California Walnut Board. As we move forward with the conference and we're able to showcase a lot of the research, we're able to showcase a lot of the things happening in the walnut industry. That's kind of my hope and my goal and working with Robert and his team at the California Walnut Board and Commission is that we make real investments and we make real leaps forward for farmers across California and being able to farm more effectively.
Verloop certainly has his work cut out for him in the walnut industry, but it's always nice to have a fresh face on the executive side. Expect to hear more from Verloop on the show in the coming weeks after his instatement. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.